So that gives you an idea of what the thing's about, right? You can download this message tomorrow and go through it again. You can hear these clips again. You might not remember everything he says there as I comment on it. But right away, Mr. Pinto seeks to equate today's patriotic Christianity with the revolutionary philosophies of the founding fathers. He calls them revolutionary philosophies, okay? And then as you watch the film, he proceeds to describe and define what these revolutionary philosophies were. The main one is the philosophy of reason. It comes out of the Enlightenment of Europe. In his mind, he says this in the movie, all the founding fathers ascribed to one degree to another to reason, this exaltation of reason above everything else. So Mr. Pinto's view is the founding fathers, but of course there's more than five, they all ascribed to this enlightenment exaltation of reason. And therefore, while they accepted the moral teachings of the Bible, they rejected anything in the scripture that was not reasonable. Could not be understood by the natural mind. So they rejected everything in scripture that could be explained or understood by logic, by reason, and that would include many of the prophetic revelations and many of the miracles of the Bible, especially the virgin birth and the sinless life of Jesus and the physical resurrection. That's why he says they're Antichrist. You know, they didn't believe that Jesus was God. So when it comes to the gospel, the things he's saying is true. But he's twisting it in such a way as to present all the founding fathers believed that. The first deception he practices in that portion of the video, like I said, is the idea that all or even most of the founding fathers subscribed to these revolutionary principles, philosophies, which were the Enlightenment, which was human reason. But as I said, there were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and all of them are regarded as founding fathers. So you can't just take five, even though they're influential, even though they're the most famous, you can't take those five and say the country was founded on their beliefs. There are over 200 people who were involved in the drafting and the signing of these three foundational documents that create our government and our country. And all those people can be considered as founding fathers. Some are more influential than others, but they're all founding fathers. The nation was not founded by one man. It wasn't founded by five or six men. It was founded by many people, and most of those people were God-fearing Christians. Some of them were even pastors. Now, what do you call the practice of deliberately distorting and manipulating the truth or facts, historical facts, in order to bring people to a wrong conclusion, to a conclusion they would never otherwise come to if they had all the facts? What do you call that? I call that lying. So what do you call a person who's practicing this duly, which he does throughout the video? I call that guy a liar. And who is the father of lies? His name is Satan. So my book, Mr. Pinto is a liar, and the spirit that moved him to produce this video is the spirit of Satan. I'll play these two clips where he talks about reason, and then he talks about Thomas Paine, who he considers to be the most influential person that created the American Revolution, all that. So give me a second here again. I'll transfer it over.
Is the belief of the Enlightenment thinkers in Europe. And what they did in France with the French Revolution, the French Freemasons, they took the goddess of reason and they exalted her on a throne. Now this was well known even centuries before. If you read the Geneva Bible and the footnotes in the Geneva Bible, the 1599 edition, they talk about how the pagans would enthrone the goddess of reason. And the idea being that reason would govern, just like a god, reason would govern your understanding of things, whatever it was. And the way that they applied this to the Bible is that if anything in the Bible did not seem reasonable, according to the powers of human reason, then it should be rejected. And the one thing that most of them pointed to was the virgin birth of Christ. Does it seem reasonable that a girl who has never been with a man should suddenly get pregnant? And they would say, well, no, that's not reasonable. And because it's not reasonable, therefore they would reject it.
The Apostle Paul wrote, "We speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him."
To me, that verse, that passage in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, clearly describes the founding fathers of America.
While most of the revolutionaries held views similar to those of the Enlightenment thinkers, it was Thomas Paine who wrote about them most openly.
It's like Thomas Paine, he spilled the beans on everything. He let it all out. The other founders, many of them, were a lot more cautious and more reserved in terms of what they were willing to say publicly and what they were willing to put in writing. But if you examine their writings carefully, it becomes clear that they believed a lot of the same things that Thomas Paine was saying. It's just that he was much more vocal about it, much more radical than the others. And if I could give a comparison, you might compare it to Barack Obama and Jeremiah Wright. It's not that Barack Obama does not believe the things that Reverend Wright is shouting from the pulpit. It's just that Obama is much more reserved and much more moderate and careful about what he says in public. That's the difference between them. But it doesn't mean that Obama does not agree with much, if not most, of what Reverend Wright was preaching.
While often overlooked or marginalized by modern historians, the American Revolution, in many ways, begins with Thomas Paine. The Marquis de Lafayette said, "A free America without her Thomas Paine is unthinkable."
Thomas Paine wrote the pamphlet Common Sense. And it is stated, if you study historians relate that the pamphlet Common Sense was the writing that brought about the Declaration of Independence. In fact, Thomas Paine uses that phrase in Common Sense.
Paine wrote that nothing can settle our affairs so expeditiously as an open and determined declaration for independence.
What's interesting is that Thomas Paine, at that point, was not even an American citizen. He was an Englishman. He was in England, and he met Benjamin Franklin. And he was a radical guy, and he was a writer. And Franklin liked his writing style. Of course, Benjamin Franklin was a well-known printer. And so Franklin wanted Paine to come to America and encouraged him to write down his ideas in some kind of a pamphlet or a book or something. And so that's what inspired Paine. You know, it was Franklin who got Paine here into America and then helped him and encouraged him to write Common Sense, which he did. And he penned it and published it anonymously, so nobody knew who it was. And then they found out later on that it was him. Of course, he becomes very famous.
Paine also published the Crisis Pamphlet Series, which were read aloud by George Washington to his troops. On Paine's tombstone is written that Common Sense was the pamphlet that stirred the American colonies to independence. It reads that John Adams said, "Without the pen of Paine, the sword of Washington would have been wielded in vain." Then below it reads, "History is to ascribe the American Revolution to Thomas Paine."
So right there on his tombstone, they're openly ascribing the American Revolution to Thomas Paine and saying that at a literary level, at the level of setting forth a philosophy and the ideas, Paine's contribution was equal to that of George Washington, really, based on John Adams' quote, "Without the pen of Paine, the sword of Washington would have been wielded in vain." In other words, you needed Paine's philosophy and then Washington's military skills, and that's what brought about victory, supposedly, for the American Revolution.
Paine was also the first to coin the phrase, the United States of America. His influence is undeniable. But why has he been marginalized by modern historians? The answer, almost certainly, is because once the Revolution was over, Paine then published his true thoughts about Christianity and the Bible in his nefarious work, The Age of Reason. He wrote, "When I see throughout the greater part of this book, the Bible, scarcely anything but a history of the grossest vices and a collection of the most paltry and contemptible tales, I cannot dishonor my Creator by calling it by His name." While some have accused Paine of being an atheist, his defenders are quick to point out that he most certainly believed in a God, just not the God of the Bible.
What's powerful and disturbing is that Paine comes right out and he addresses and attacks the gospel itself. He says, literally, it is the fable of Jesus Christ, as told in the New Testament, and the wild and visionary doctrine raised thereon, against which I contend. Paine is openly stating that he is contending against the gospel. He is contending against the teaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, and that God raised him from the dead, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what he's contending against. And he's calling it a fable. And then he goes on to say that the story, taking it as it is told, he says, is blasphemously obscene.
The so-called obscenity Paine refers to is the virgin birth of Christ. He said, "What is it the Testament teaches us? To believe that the Almighty committed debauchery with a woman engaged to be married, and the belief of this debauchery is called faith."
So he's specifically denouncing, as all of the Enlightenment thinkers did, the supernatural elements of the gospel. He's denouncing the virgin birth of Christ. He's ultimately going to denounce the idea of the resurrection, and so on.
The exaltation of reason might be called the worship of the human intellect, which is why Thomas Paine wrote, "I do not believe in the creed professed by any church that I know of. My own mind is my own church." Paine openly wrote that he detested the Bible and said it would be more consistent that we called it the word of a demon than the word of God.
He's completely denouncing Christianity as being a fable, as being a fraud and a counterfeit and so on. And he's denouncing the Bible. Well, this thing sold hundreds of thousands of copies, The Age of Reason, and the American people saw what Thomas Paine believed, and immediately they thought, wait a minute, Thomas Paine, he was close to George Washington, he was close to Thomas Jefferson, he was close to the Benjamin Franklin and so on. If this is what Paine believes, is this what the rest of the founders believe?
To greater or lesser degrees, the philosophy of reason influenced most of the revolutionary founders. This is what inspired John Adams to write, "When philosophical reason is clear and certain by intuition or necessary induction, no subsequent revelation supported by prophecies or miracles can supersede it." It was this dedication to human reason that inspired Thomas Jefferson to write, "We hold these truths to be self-evident," in the Declaration of Independence. These words were engineered to specifically reject the idea of biblical revelation or prophecy that comes from heaven as the authority of human government. Instead, the new American Republic would be governed only by the philosophic understanding which is self-evident in the minds of men. Those who believe that the United States was founded as a Christian nation must ask themselves, was Thomas Paine sent by God to inspire a Christian revolution? And if the pen of Paine was the spirit behind the War of Independence, what spirit was it? History shows how great measures were taken by many professing believers to somehow prove or declare that Thomas Paine recanted before his death. The question is, why were so many concerned? Was it just for Paine's salvation? Or was it because they knew that Paine had been so instrumental in spurring forth the American Revolution? Were they concerned that, however unwittingly, they had been inspired by the words of what the Bible calls a lying spirit, a deceiver, and an antichrist? Thomas Paine not only denied the gospel, but hoped that the age of reason would ultimately get rid of it. He said, "The Christian theory is little less than the idolatry of the ancient mythologists, and it yet remains to reason and philosophy to abolish the amphibious fraud."
Okay. That was long and torturous. Obviously, Paine was a heretic and he's burned in hell. It's not the historical facts he's presenting is wrong. It's the way those facts are being presented that constitutes a deliberate deception. It's a fact that Thomas Paine wrote the pamphlet called Common Sense, which had some influence on people to seek independence from England. And it was also true that many people were calling for independence long before Paine even wrote that pamphlet, long before he came to America, because of the duplicity and the treachery of the English crown. And most of the ones who were calling for independence were God-fearing Christians. Some of them were preachers. A lot of them were preachers. They weren't Enlightenment thinkers. After the war, Paine took the credit for writing that Common Sense tract, and he became famous because of it. But then he immediately turned around and wrote that hellish thing called The Age of Reason, which viciously attacks Christianity. And that through that tract, he revealed his true feelings about Christianity. But see, before the war, very few people knew what Paine actually believed. He hid his true feelings. Those are facts. Now, Pinto's manipulation of the facts is this. According to him, most of the founding fathers were in agreement with Paine's Antichrist attitude, at least secretly. According to Pinto, Thomas Paine was like Jeremiah Wright, but the rest of the founding fathers were like Barack Hussein Obama. Paine had the guts to openly preach what he believed, while the others were cowards and they believed it secretly. Now, Mr. Pinto isn't the first person to try and prove that America was not founded as a Christian nation. In their articles and magazines, you'll often find left-wingers and communists and socialists and atheists, America haters, progressives, saying the same thing. Just give you an example. There was a paper that said, quote, "Franklin, Washington, Jefferson, Paine, and most of our other patriarchs were at best deists, believing in the unmoved mover of Aristotle, but not the God of the Old New Testaments." That's just an example. You hear that kind of stuff all the time from these kind of publications. Like I said, most of the ones who are presenting this view are left-wingers. They're progressive, they're socialist, or communist. Now, having those kinds of people as my compatriot would make me a little uncomfortable, but Perry doesn't face Mr. Pinto. He moves from historical fact to lies and insinuation seamlessly throughout this whole video. That's why it's so dangerous, because there is a lot of facts in there, verifiable facts, and the facts aren't necessarily the problem. It's how he's presenting them. It's how he's misrepresenting them. But you see, how the Founding Fathers reacted to his pamphlet, The Age of Reason, which is an attack on Christianity, is not left to our imagination or our opinion of what they thought. There are documents out there for anyone who cares to look them up. We'll show you what the Founding Fathers thought of this guy. After he came out clean and actually admitted what he believed. See, but Mr. Pinto is betting that the viewer of that movie will be too lazy to fact-check his statements. And for most of us, he's right. The fact is, most of America's leadership at that time denounced Paine's writings because they knew it would destroy the country. Before Paine published that thing, he sent a copy to Benjamin Franklin to get his response. I'm going to read you what Franklin's response was. As I read it, remember, almost everyone, all historians, almost all of them, agree that Benjamin Franklin was the least religious founder. This is what he said when he read this guy's tract. He says, quote, "I have read your manuscript with some attention. By the argument it contains against a particular providence, though you allow a general providence, you strike at the foundation of all religion, not the belief of a providence that takes cognizance of guards and guides and may favor particular persons. There is no motive to worship a deity, to fear his displeasure, or to pray for his protection. I will not enter into any discussion of your principles, though you seem to desire it. At present, I shall only give you my opinion that the consequence of you printing this piece will be a great deal of odium drawn upon yourself, mischief to you, and no benefit to others. He that spits into the wind spits in his own face. But were you to succeed, do you imagine any good would be done by it? Think how great a portion of mankind consists of weak and ignorant men and women, and of inexperienced and inconsiderate youth of both sexes who have need of the motives of religion to restrain them from vice and to support their virtue. I would advise you, therefore, not to attempt unchaining the tiger, but to burn this piece before it's seen by any other person. If men are so wicked with religion, what would they be without it? I intend this letter itself as proof of my friendship. So he's not coming against this guy because he's a Christian. He's coming against it because he thinks people need religion. And if everybody got a hold of this track and believed it, the world would be on fire. There'd be no restraint. Religion restrains people, even if it's false religion. So he told him to burn it. Now, Samuel Adams was another founding father, and he wasn't as cordial as Mr. Franklin was. He says, "When I heard you had turned your mind to a defense of infidelity, I felt myself much astonished and more grieved that you had attempted a measure so injurious to the feelings and so repugnant to the true interests of so great a part of the citizens of the United States. The people of New England, if you allow me to use a scripture phrase, are fast returning to their first love. Will you excite among them the spirit of angry controversy at a time when they are hastening to amity and peace? I am told that some of our newspapers have announced your intention to publish an additional pamphlet upon the principles of your Age of Reason. Do you think your pen, or the pen of any other man, can unchristianize the mass of our citizens? Or have you hopes of converting a few of them to assist you in so bad a cause?" Certainly he wasn't agreeing with him secretly or openly. That was Samuel Adams. John Adams, the next president, he spoke very harshly of such anti-Christian propaganda. He said, quote, "The Christian religion is, above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. Let the blackguard," that's a slang word for scoundrel or rogue. He said, "let the blackguard Paine say what he will." In other words, he's not paying attention to it. He goes on to say another quote. He says, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obligated in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be." Another quote by the same man. "The general principles on which the founding fathers achieved independence were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite. And what were these general principles? I answer, the general principles of Christianity, in which all these sects were united. Now I will avow that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God, and that those principles of liberty are as unalterable as human nature and our terrestrial mundane system." That speaks for itself. But I just want to point one thing out here. This guy's a founding father now, okay? And he says, "the general principles by which the founders of America achieved independence." The general principles by which the founders of America achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity, not the general principles of Buddha, the general principles of Confucius, the general principles of Mohammed, the general principles of Christianity, which is the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now, only a person who is deliberately trying to deceive people would insinuate or imply that the founders of America secretly agreed with Thomas Paine's hatred of Christianity when the evidence is so overwhelming to the contrary. Benjamin Rush, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, that means he's a founding father, wrote to his friend John Dixon, who was a signer of the Constitution, that Paine's Age of Reason was, quote, "absurd and impious." Charles Carroll, which is a Catholic, but he was another signer of the Declaration, described Paine's work as blasphemous writings against a Christian religion. John Witherspoon, another signer of the Declaration, and a mentor, this guy was a mentor of many other founding fathers, said that Paine was, quote, "ignorant of human nature as well as an enemy to the Christian faith." John Quincy Adams, who was the son of John Adams and the sixth president of the United States, he declared that Mr. Paine has departed altogether from the principles of the Revolution. Mr. Paine has departed altogether from the principles of the Revolution. That's a very important statement. I want you to take notice of that, because even though John Quincy Adams was not a founding father, his father was. And so he was certainly close enough to the events of that time that his view of the principles of the Revolution were correct. He knew what the principles of the Revolution were. And I want you to notice what he didn't say. He didn't say that Paine had departed from the principles of the general formation of the American government after the Revolution. He didn't say Paine had departed from the principles of the original colonists who came over here before the revolution. He said Paine had departed altogether from the principles of the revolution, the American war. That's very clear words. We have a choice now before us to believe somebody. One of these people is a spinning or lying or being very ignorant. If the spin Pinto presents in this video is true, then the quote, principles of the revolution were the Antichrist principles of reason, humanism, and European enlightenment, as well as the occultism of Freemasonry. In which case, John Quincy Adams was either ignorant of the truth about the American Revolution, or even worse, he was deliberately trying to deceive those who heard what he said. On the other hand, if John Quincy Adams' view of the revolution was true, and the principles of the American Revolution were the principles Thomas Paine not only abandoned but viciously attacked, then it's Mr. Pinto who is either ignorant of the truth, or even worse, he's deliberately trying to deceive his listeners regarding those principles. And I'm sorry, I don't believe Pinto's ignorant. I think he's a liar with an agenda, and he's using his talent for filmmaking to deceive gullible Christians. This video, The Secret Faith of the Founding Fathers, is nothing but an anti-American, conspiracy-centric propaganda piece. It's like right out of Nazi Germany. Another man named Elias Boduyat, who was the president of Congress at that time, went so far as to publish a full-length rebuttal of Paine's anti-Christian screed. The Paine's book was The Age of Reason, where he exalted reason above revelation. This guy wrote a rebuttal called The Age of Revelation. And he sent a letter to his daughter to explain why he wrote that rebuttal. This is what he said to his daughter. He says, I confess I was much mortified to find the whole force of this Paine man's genius and art pointed at the youth of America. That was talking about Paine. He's mortified to find the whole force of Paine's genius and art pointed at the youth of America. This awful consequence created some alarm in my mind, lest at any future day you, my beloved child, might take up this plausible address of infidelity, and for want of an answer at hand to his subtle insinuations, might suffer even a doubt of the truth, as is in Jesus, to penetrate your mind. I therefore determined to put my thoughts on the subject of this pamphlet on paper for your edification and information when I shall be no more. I chose to confine myself to the leading and essential facts of the gospel, which are contradicted or attempted to be turned into ridicule by this writer. I have endeavored to detect his falsehoods and misrepresentations to show his extreme ignorance of the divine scripture, which he makes a subject of his animadversions. I don't know what that is. That's an old English word. Not knowing that they are the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. Okay, so there's another founding father writing directly. He not only denied it, he wrote a book against it, a rebuttal. Patrick Henry, he also wrote a refutation of Paine's work. He wrote a book, and he described Paine's efforts to destroy Christianity as the puny efforts of Paine. All right, but I have to read another guy's book. This guy named Bishop Richard Watson also wrote a rebuttal called Apology for the Bible. After he read that, he decided not to publish his work because this bishop did such a good job refuting Thomas Paine's work. Another signer of the Constitution is William Patterson. He was a justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. He said, quote, infatuated Americans, why renounce you your country, your religion, and your God? Oh, shame, where is thy blush? Is this the way to continue independent and to render the 4th of July immortal in memory and song? Zephaniah Swift, the author of America's first law book, he warned this. He said, we cannot suffocate the beliefs of Thomas Paine in his attack on Christianity by publishing his Age of Reason. He has the impudence and effrontery to address the citizens of the United States, a paltry performance which is intended to shake their faith in the religion of their fathers. No language can describe the wickedness of the man who will attempt to subvert a religion which is a source of comfort and consolation to its votaries, that means his worshipers, merely for the purpose of eradicating all sentiments of religion. John Jay, co-author of the Federalist Papers and the original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, was comforted by the fact that Christianity would prevail despite Paine's attack on it. This is what he said. I have long been of the opinion that the evidence of the truth of Christianity requires only to be carefully examined to produce conviction in candid minds. And I think they who undertake that task will derive advantages. As to the Age of Reason, it never appeared to me to have been written from a disinterested love of the truth or of mankind. I could quote many other similar writings, many other people that error, who were preachers, regular people, who were founding fathers, that said the same things. They rejected Paine out of hand. He was rejected by the mass majority of the founding fathers. And matter of fact, his views actually caused such a strong public opposition to him that just like his friend Benjamin Franklin predicted, Paine spent the last years of his life alone in New York as an outcast and as social ostracism. He was buried in a farmer's field because no American cemetery would accept his remains. So on the whole, the population rejected it, and vast majority of the founders rejected Paine. And this guy stated, oh, the founding fathers all secretly agreed with him. They were too coward to come out and say it. That's a lie. Such a satanic lie and a misrepresentation of the truth.